we have a lot of things going on this week, and very few of them are really good, but we're going to talk about them anyway, next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Good to be back with you this week in the studio and now digesting the lunch we just ate.
Well, I think that may be TMI, Chuck. Too much information for our listeners.
We didn't tell them where we ate, so.
Well, that's all right. I don't like doing that. I don't like seeing that on my Twitter feeds. I don't like seeing that on my Facebook pages, and I certainly don't like it in LinkedIn.
Yeah, that's.
I don't really need to know what people had for lunch.
What is it with people? You know, just whatever. Just did laundry or just folded my socks.
Well, you know, when it gets right down to it, Andy Warhol was right. Everybody wants 15 minutes of fame. And our social media experiment we have going on in this country now, everybody can get 15 minutes of fame or infamy or what have you. Sometimes they can get more than that because in our new electronic world of tomorrow, you sometimes can do things that months or years later can come back and actually have a significant impact on what you do in the future. And this is our free advice and warning to any of the young people out there listening. Be careful what you do and how you do it. You know, always think ahead. Always understand that in the electronic world, private doesn't mean private.
Right,
Chuck?
Right.
And that what you post online today and erase tomorrow, somebody will find 3 years from now because somehow it got archived in some search engine or by someone else, and you may live to regret it.
Well, there's actually a web service out there, and I cannot for the life of me remember what the name of it is. But basically, it snapshots web pages.
Oh, okay.
And you have to do it manually, but you can go out and find, you know, you find something you like, you take it to this place and you snapshot them. Then when people erase the things they've said, voila, they're all right out there for everybody to see and hear.
Yeah, well, you know, and that can be very dangerous. And I'd say probably the most recent example of this situation is one that a certain presidential candidate is finding herself in. And with that, I kind of hat tipped who we're talking about here. We're talking about Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Rodham Clinton, who, while serving as the Secretary of State in the Obama administration during the first Obama administration and then partway into the second term of the administration, decided, Chuck, and I'm sure we're going to find out more and more about this as the story unfolds, but decided for some reason that it is yet to be declared to actually use a personal, private server to transmit and receive particular, shall we say, sensitive business-related emails. And when members of Congress and Government Oversight Committee found out about this particular situation, well, as you know, sometimes when Congress gets slapped in the face with what's oftentimes their own ineptitude and lack of following the Constitution, they tend to take it out on the executive branch. And I think that what they've done now is they've actually created an inquiry, and I believe there have been subpoenas that have been issued to retrieve the emails from the email server. We've talked about this a little bit in the past.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
But we have some new information that's coming out. And one of the newest pieces of information is that as they've been reviewing this server, they've come to realize that there are some emails that are on this server, which is not a State Department email server. It is a Clinton personal server that are basically classified as top secret information.
Right.
Chuck, that means that Hillary Rodham Clinton may have violated numerous federal statutes, and depending upon who those emails went back and forth to, possibly, And I'm not saying that this is happening, but I'm saying that it's an option that could be happening. She could be brought up on charges of treason. Because if these were top secret military information or top secret information about U.S. personnel overseas, and they were handed to countries or interests that are not authorized under U.S. law to have them, it very well, and we find out that possibly some of this information, and again, I'm not saying that this is the information that's out there, but I'm saying that this is a possibility, that the information in those emails sent to whatever party actually compromised U.S. security, compromised the safety of U.S. personnel, or, as many people seem to be led to believe now, and we'll find out at some point, hopefully, whether or not those fears are well held or not, could have led to the death of a U.S. ambassador and three other personnel in Benghazi.
Yeah, I listened to a kind of a rant from a talk show host who does that a lot.
Other than me?
Yeah.
Okay.
But essentially, he was correct. He said there are three levels of security. There's top secret, secret, and confidential.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, top secret is one of those things that's supposed to be handled through both top secret. Well, all three of those are supposed to be handled through secure servers. And despite the fact that we have secure servers, the Chinese still managed to hack a couple of years ago, hacked the servers, and as we're all well aware. The problem now is that having stonewalled for months and months and months and months and months, Hillary has turned those over and claimed it's everything. Well, she's now had months to, like, cleanse all the information. And it, obviously, as Secretary of State, there would have been a lot of email traffic. And I'm willing to bet that it's a small amount of traffic, which means that most of the important stuff that would be incriminating has been expunged, if you will. Now, what that means, you know, I can't say that for sure because I don't know. But the fact is that the reason we don't know is because she purposefully set up, outside of the secure servers in the State Department, set up an email system that, if you'll remember, there were numerous excuses. They were housed in a federal secure facility. And it turns out that was a lie.
Well, it turns out that they were at her summer house at Chappaqua.
Yeah. So there's all kinds of stuff out there that's just nonsense about this thing. And the fact is that everybody knows that you can back construct email traffic. You know, I accidentally deleted an email I sent to you. Can you send me back a copy?
Oops.
Yeah.
There's a problem there.
Well, I've done that.
You know, I have too, but when you're talking about classified and top secret U.S. State Department and or military and security information, you don't just kind of casually go out to somebody you've sent something to. Well, you know what? I seem to have deleted that. Yeah. Can you throw that back at me? Here's my email. Hillary, I'm a fool, 123, at nongovernment.com.
Well, here's the problem, Barry. It's pretty obvious that the reason this was set up on an extra governmental server was so that this kind of a scenario,
right,
could happen.
Could happen. Aha, but you see, there's the point. Because, again, when Congress gets involved, you usually are much more stringent with the rules toward somebody in the executive branch than they are with people in their own branch.
Exactly.
Congress overlooks the fact that the oftentimes they do things that are unconstitutional, extra constitutional, or just plain stupid. But when somebody in the executive branch does it, then let's release all the dogs. And I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing, because at least it shows there's a pulse in Congress. But currently, the Senate Homeland Security Committee, who is investigating this situation with Hillary Clinton's private email server, either they're getting great advice or somebody on that committee is fairly smart, because they're like, aha, oh, she's deleted emails? Let's go to the server company who was handling her account. And so The chairman of the Senate Homeland Security Committee has asked a Denver technology company. Now, get this, Chuck. This is a technology firm that was only started 13 years ago. So in 2002.
Which is when a lot of these little companies
popped up all over the place. But this company managed thousands upon tens of thousands of emails for Hillary Rodham Clinton when she was Secretary of State. It's called Platte River Networks. It's based out in Denver, Colorado. And so basically, they only began managing Hillary's accounts about 2 years ago in 2013. So really, you know, they've been around for a while, but it lies to the question, though. Did, first of all, I guess, number one, that her use of a private non-governmental server to actually conduct official business, the question I have, and I'm sure that the committee probably has, is that, well, first of all, they're probably just going to ask them if they can, if the company can retrieve any emails that have been deleted from her personal server. And hopefully the company will be smart enough to say, yes, we can, because nothing ever disappears, Chuck. And if you want it bad enough, you can find a way to get it. The other problem that little company is going to have is if the investigators start sniffing around and wondering, wait a minute, were there background checks and security clearances done upon the personnel and owners of this company to assure that if they did handle something that was official State Department business, that they were vetted and qualified to do so?
Well, you ask too many questions.
Oh, I know. I see. I'm a nudge that way.
Barry, this is exactly the trouble, and exactly the reason why confidential, secret, and top secret emails have to go through a secure server, because the people who handle those servers have to go through top security clearance, so they can, if they happen to accidentally see an email, can be trusted not to copy it and send it over to whoever, China, Iran, Iraq, Russia, name someone who potentially is a rival or would needs information from U.S. intelligence, Israel,
Syria, Iraq, Iran, Russia, China, India, Pakistan, Afghanistan. Do I have to keep going? I mean, there's, what, 176 governmental countries on the face of the planet. 175 of them would like to have that information.
Yeah, exactly. This is the problem, and this is what we're running into. This is a woman who wants to be president of the United States. If she's going to go to these lengths to keep what she did secret because it's embarrassing to her politically, what lengths is she willing to go to when she's president of the United States?
There's two sayings that come to mind. One is, from Superman, with great power comes great responsibility. But the other side is from Lord Acton.
Yes.
Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts, yep, absolutely. So do we believe that we're going to have responsibility, great responsibility, or we're going to have absolute corruption? I will leave it to our audience to decide that question for themselves. But remember, the subject that we're talking about is Hillary Rodham Clinton.
My wife just handed me a note, the studio audience today. She's handed me a note that says, why were they doing top secret business over email in the first place?
Well, you see, that's a real interesting thing as well, because, you know, historically, you know, and if you've ever watched any spy movies, Mission Impossible or any of these spy flicks, usually all of these things are done with secure packages or couriers. But, you know, we're in this new realm now of faster, easier, more convenient because of electronic technology. And if you have an encrypted server on one side sending to an encrypted server on the other side, you can send these type of documents and information rather securely because, well, and let's just put it this way, there is no system that's been built that can't be hacked, okay? As Chuck has been faithfully determining, because there have been dozens of hack attacks upon the principled policy website here in the last few
weeks. Yeah, we've
obviously hit a nerve somewhere with somebody, and we've had numerous people trying to come in and get a hold of our dashboard so that they can do whatever, whether it's post porn advertisements or just go in and, you know, create chaos and anarchy. I don't think it's the group Anonymous, but we believe it's probably a bunch of weekend hackers.
If I told you the stuff, it's not salacious at all. Over at Camp American, we're getting a lot of campamerican.com. Uh-huh. We're getting a lot of comment spam.
Yes. Okay. Where they like to put in the URL
put an
link
and
advertising.
Now, if I told you what it was for, you'd go, huh?
I don't even want to know. I don't think.
It's clock parts.
Okay, fine. That's great. Well, I'm glad that people are actually still fixing clocks.
Dozens and dozens and dozens of clock parts.
That's hilarious. However, this is not the type of server that we're talking about.
Right.
We're talking about hardened, encrypted governmental servers that have redundant systems built in that code and encrypt and uncode and decrypt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't remember the word. And that they are sending to other official servers. That right there, Chuck, is the kernel of what's wrong with this whole situation.
Yes.
Hillary Clinton was using a private email server. And I don't care if it was encrypted or wasn't encrypted, but I'm guessing that it wasn't encrypted. Number one, she was using a private, which is basically we can go down to Micro Center and buy a server deck.
Right.
And set it up and start running a server here. Should we be receiving and sending top secret military classified information for the government?
Answer is no, and I wouldn't want to.
I wouldn't want to because there are a number of federal felonies, and I don't want to set under Leavenworth for the rest of my life. Thank you. So she's sending them via a private server, which is being served by a small tech startup in Denver, Colorado that's been around for about a dozen years, and who we have no idea if Platte River Networks has any kind of governmental clearance whatsoever.
Guess is no.
No. Guess is no. And number three, that Hillary, before she turned over emails to the State Department, erased half of what was on the server, claiming it was personal information.
Well,
or personal emails, which means she was mixing business and personal. Now, was she getting paid for both? Because, you know, Chuck, if you and I worked in a company and we had a business email account and we were on the company's servers and we were sitting there sending back and forth joke spam to each other or talking about what we want to do for the weekend or what's a great bottle of wine to buy or whatever, movie reviews, whatever. Where would we find ourselves? Probably in short order.
In the corner.
Well, on the unemployment line,
yeah.
Most likely.
Minimum with our nose in the corner.
Minimum with the nose in the corner. Because it doesn't belong to us. That is the company's property. And it's also the company's responsibility to ensure to their clients that the information that their clients give them is going to be treated with the privacy and respect it needs, and that the company's employees are not sitting around doing their own personal business and getting paid by the company, who's then having the clients pay them, because that's where the company gets their money, is from their end users, their clients. So are the clients paying for someone to sit around and play solitaire on their computer or to
right.
send emails about this weekend's big birthday party? And that's kind of the thing that Hillary Clinton was doing here.
Right.
I mean, not those specific things, so don't misquote me on that. But what she was doing was she was handling official. Now, great, Chuck, if you work for McDonald's, that may be one thing. But she is the Secretary of State working for the State Department, which is one of the original executive agencies, and probably one of the few that really does have a constitutional charter, because they deal in diplomacy, which is one
right.
of the legitimate functions of the federal government.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. This isn't like, you know, you're working for KFC and you're in charge of the 11 secret herbs and spices.
Yeah, and that actually might be a higher order of classified material than even whatever Hillary had on her server.
Yeah, now, some of the things she erased were actually Clinton Foundation emails. So she was running stuff from the Clinton Foundation through the same server.
And, you know, it's interesting you said that, Chuck, because the Clinton Foundation is coming under some heightened scrutiny at this point because of the number of foreign countries that have been donors to the Clinton Foundation. And, you know, it's just like we always said with anything else political, follow the money.
Follow the money, always.
Looking at the types of donations from which countries, and I'm talking countries like Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Syria, other places, where they send upwards of multiple millions of dollars to the Clinton Foundation.
Yeah, China.
And then all of a sudden, within a few months, you have policies that are being shifted by the State Department that favor these countries' interests. Chuck, that's the reason why I brought the T word up a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
This is starting to stink to high heaven, and I do believe that that's partly part of the reason Joe Biden is spending this last weekend contemplating his next steps as to whether or not he might announce his candidacy for the Democratic nomination for president of these United States. Another portion of this, Chuck, and something that most people may have forgotten about but are going to be reminded of, is that it isn't just Hillary that they're looking at. You know, this Senate committee has been requesting information and or possibly access to emails and email servers for a number of Clinton's aides. And the one aide of Hillary Rodham Clinton, who's probably going to start receiving a significant amount of attention from this committee, and probably should, is one Huma Abedin.
Huma Abedin.
Okay, I can't pronounce the last name. So Huma Abedin. Now, you may have heard that name before, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe you haven't. But she is actually Hillary Rodham Clinton's personal
assistant. Yeah.
Her number one, as you might say. I think she's still married to former and disgraced Congressman Anthony Weiner. But Huma Abedin is a what we would call in the intelligence community a person of interest. And there are numerous reasons for that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, she has ties to Hamas. She has ties to a number of Middle Eastern. She is of Arab descent. I think she's Arab. She might be Syrian or perhaps, doesn't matter. She is Middle Eastern descent. And she has some very questionable ties. This came up when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, during the confirmation hearings, and they still confirmed her. How dangerous is it to have someone whom we are in a, to say the least, a complex foreign policy regarding Middle Eastern countries wherein we're fighting in one country the same group that we're arming in another? I mean, essentially
not, that's right.
Yes, they're under different labels, but
you see, it's that strange bedfellows combination that I think is very familiar to Clinton, because it's starting to come to light that this particular server of Hillary's, Huma Abedin, had her own email account on this particular server and was using it for both personal and official business. Now, that's an interesting arrangement, Charles, I'd have to say, especially when you consider that Abedin was granted, quote, special government employee, unquote, status. You know what that means, Charles? Special government employee?
Minister without passport?
Actually, that's part. You could look at it this way. You could also look at it as contractor with top secret clearance privileges.
Yeah, minister without portfolio.
Basically, this allowed her to work at the State Department and work in the private sector at the same time. And the question is now before the committee, and the reason why Hillary Clinton had to go in front of a federal judge on last week, that she basically, she had her own email account on my server, and it was used for government business. But the question is now, did she continue to access that server after she had left her government role when Hillary Clinton stepped down from her role as Secretary of State? Because if she was still accessing governmental records, and now we know that at least two emails on that server, and we don't know if they're connected directly to Hillary's account or to Abedin's account, that at least two emails on that server were classified top secret. So we have to start thinking about this. Was there just a happy series of accidents? Or was there more thought and care up until the point that, you know, they had to admit that they were doing this on a private server, taken by Hillary Clinton in order to possibly hide certain activities and certain communications from the State Department?
Those kind of questions, unfortunately, Hillary Clinton will do anything to not answer those questions. If you can think of something, basically what we've been getting a lot of is, hey, look, Haley's Comet.
Yeah, exactly.
It misdirects, look elsewhere, you know, everybody does it, when in fact everybody doesn't do it. Most people are more than content if they're working in a sensitive place to deal with the secure servers. In fact, some people are sweating the fact that they're not secure enough. Because if somebody manages to hack in, they can find all kinds of stuff. Because people, let's face it, do people use their email to do
things? Yeah, what we were just talking about earlier. Of course they do.
Look, to get notifications about the stuff you bought on eBay.
Of course they do.
Of course they do. I mean, it would be stupid not to. I mean, we live in an age now that when you buy something, you want an immediate notice that it's been... your payment has been received, it's been shipped, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah. And you know what? Bosses look the other way when you do that kind of stuff. Because if you're a decent employee, he doesn't care if you take 5 minutes out and buy something on eBay and get the notification on your email at work. Who cares?
Right. You know, you just basically consider that to be an employee perk.
Exactly. You know? Okay. Think about it this way. When I worked in a company back in the old days when you could still smoke at work, but you had to take a smoke break someplace else. You couldn't smoke in the office. People would be gone for 15, 20 minutes while they went and had a cup of coffee and a smoke.
Sure.
Well, what did guys like me who didn't drink coffee or smoke do?
Did crossword puzzles, played pinochle, I don't know.
Sat in the office and worked on stuff.
Oh, you conscientious boy, you.
let's not kid ourselves. I've also had my days.
Of course. Oh, my.
But for the most part, I mean...
I know what you did. I know what you did. You took on a second job working for your company's competitor.
Let me tell you something. This was in the early days of the internet, so there was no surfing.
Yes.
And you would occasionally check your email, which usually took about a half an hour because right, you had to dial up with a 9600 baud modem. And if you had more than five emails, you're sitting there waiting patiently for them
below. For a long time. Yeah. They could have put them in the U.S. Yeah. Post and got them there faster.
Exactly.
But you at least you weren't doing what Huma Abedin was doing.
That's right.
Because that special government employee status allowed her to work as the right hand to the Secretary of State in the State Department, while at the same time working in the Clinton Foundation. That was her other private sector.
So she was basically the bag lady.
She was the middleman.
The bag man.
The go-to. But the problem is that when she went to get this, after she got this clearance, she didn't inform or notify the Intelligence Committee because she was supposed to. She conveniently forgot to tell anybody that not only was she working with the State Department and had a private account on a private email server of her boss's, but was also the bridge to the boss's foundation, who was receiving millions of dollars of donations from Middle Eastern countries, some friendly, some not so friendly. Charles, I'm sorry, but none of us would be able to survive the smell test that has to be done on this one. We'd all be either looking for new lines of work or trying on our blues and seeing how we look in prison garb.
Well, look, this goes also back down. When this whole email server thing started up, I can remember we did a show where we talked about the fact that Trey Gowdy put out a subpoena for the server. and was told that he couldn't have it. Now, you and I both know what would happen if we went to Congress and there was some piece of information that was subpoenaed and we refused to comply with the subpoena. Where would we be? Well, there's a little charge. It's called contempt of Congress.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I forget what the penalty is for contempt of Congress. It's significant, and it's time in a federal penitentiary. Did Hillary spend any time in a federal penitentiary for refusing to comply? And Trey Gowdy threw his hands up and said, well, there's really nothing we can do. Yeah, there is a contempt citation.
And again, that gets me back to the whole idea of Congress not following their constitutional mandate.
Well,
but
yes.
And that's okay. And I know people like Trey Gowdy, but, you know, he was a little green behind the ears on that one.
Oh, not really. You know what he saw happening? Who would have kiboshed it?
Oh, of course, the Justice Department.
No, John Boehner.
Oh, well, there's that, too.
John Boehner would not have allowed Hillary to be found in contempt of Congress.
But we're talking in a perfect world and in the private sector. But in the government sector, in the world of Hillary Rodham Clinton and Barack Obama, what happens to Huma Abedin? First of all, she's gotten a team of attorneys around her.
Yep.
Secondly, although her former boss, well, former maybe still boss, and I'll get to that in a second, after her boss had testified under penalty of perjury, mind you, that she had turned over all of the work-related emails to the State Department. Now, she declared she made that declaration, and under penalty of perjury, the judge requested Abedin to confirm her role. Through her attorney, she's declining to do so. Okay, so now we've got another role. So what would that do? Now, Chuck, again, like we said, if we were doing this and we were lawyering up and we were saying no, most likely, by the end of the day, we'd be having a little banker's box to put all our personal effects in and being escorted out the door by the security guards. What's happening to Huma Abedin? Oh, maybe that she's sitting now as the vice chairwoman of Hillary Rodham Clinton's presidential campaign, Hillary for America, and is taking on, as we speak, is being vetted to take on more responsibilities for the campaign.
Once a great bag man, always a great bag man.
Absolutely. And guess what? Some of those responsibilities, including heading up fundraisers and speaking to donors on Clinton's behalf. Maybe that's what she was doing.
Yeah.
In her dual role at the State Department and the Clinton Foundation.
That's certainly what it seems like.
And Chuck, now I'm starting to think that that T word is not too strong to use.
They're in a bubble. They don't get in trouble.
Yeah, my studio audience says Clintons are in a bubble. They don't get in trouble. And there's a great show I used to love to watch. People say they hated it because it had Alec Baldwin in it, who, by the way, played a great self-parody of himself. If you ever 30 Rock. I used to love 30 Rock. And there's an episode with John Hamm, who was the guy in Mad Men. The main guy, and he was a doctor, and all these women would come to him. He was like the worst tennis player in the world, and all these women would come to him and ask him for tennis lessons. So he thinks he's a great tennis player, and like Liz Lemon, who's the main character, is beating him right and left, and he's like, he can't stand it. It's unbelievable. And Alec Baldwin's character tells her, Lemon, he's in the bubble. Well, the Clintons are in the bubble. The bubble is someplace where you are and you can't be touched. Everyone thinks you're wonderful. They all think you're handsome. They all think you're witty. And you can't be touched when you're in the bubble. And Baldwin looks at himself and sees that he's gotten a little portly and he's not quite as athletic as he used to be. And he goes, I got to get back in that bubble. So if the bubble busts, the Clintons are going to be basically looking at each other going, boy, I got to get back in that bubble.
Yeah, well, you know what? And I think Bubba is trying to stay in that bubble as desperately as he can at this point. But, you know, Chuck, these kind of revelations make the bimbo eruptions of the 90s almost look forgivable. Almost, I said.
Almost.
Now, don't misquote me. Almost. This could very well, and the more that the Senate Judiciary Committee and Trey Gowdy in the House and everybody starts to keep digging into this, and, you know, they have to answer in front of a judge on these issues, the more I think that probably Congress should plan on bringing up articles of treason.
Well, if the enemies of the United States were aided and abetted,
that's it. That's the standard for treason. We know in the Constitution, both in Article 3 and in Article 1, Article 1, Article 2, Article 3, there are numerous places where treason is listed out.
Well, there's also Mark Levin basically went through a thing last night, and where he talked about what crime she was guilty of.
Mm-hmm.
Before the jury trial, obviously.
Sure.
But he said, I know what the defenses are going to be, that she didn't know this and she didn't do that. He says, look, it's not a matter of intent. It's a matter of gross negligence. And that's still a criminal act. And that this is, it's a matter of gross negligence. There's just no doubt about that.
Well, absolutely. Now, it's interesting because as we're finding out more about this other server, or the company, Platte River Networks, and they were managing her servers, well, now you have these folks coming out of the woodwork, and there's a quote. I'm looking at McClatchy's DC feed in their politics and government section for the 12th of August, and it's interesting because the writer, Greg Gordon, has got a comment in here from a cybersecurity expert by the name of Brian Reed, they dug up from somewhere, and who got quoted, said, Clinton's use of a reputable company to manage her server means it was less likely to be vulnerable to hackers. Now, Chuck, that's called a throwaway comment.
Yeah, exactly.
That is to basically allow the continued deniability and gullibility of the public to continue apace. Problem is, we're not talking about you losing, the directions to your cousin's wedding, or your recipe for some great dinner, or
right.
or the latest, joke meme picture that somebody sent around to you.
Your grandma's secret cookie recipe.
We're talking about top secret governmental documents from the State Department. I don't care how reputable this company was. And I don't care even if they potentially had a backup server. Now, I do care in one sense, because if they had backup servers, Chuck, that means that some of those emails that she deleted are probably still sitting on the backup.
Well, of course they are. They do multiple backups. First of all, companies are required to keep backups for years and years and years and years. So the chances of those being destroyed, don't be surprised if you don't hear, oh, we had a fire, or we had some kind of a horrible mishap, and those servers have been lost.
We were broken into, and they stole the servers that her stuff was on.
Yeah, exactly. There are all kinds of stuff that's going to be tried out, and then what you'll get is somebody on the inside who says, "No, that's a lie. They're still out there," and then we'll find out if Congress has any guts or not, because that's when they say, "Okay, you're lying. We want it back, or you're going to a federal prison," which are not pleasant places to be. Although some of them, that's, maybe they'll send you to the country club, golf and tennis. This is kind of the kind of scary thing you run into. It's sort of like you begin to hear the excuses. Well, it's really not what you think. And therefore, we have the right to protect ourselves, because the public can be misled about what it is we've done exactly. Well, we all know what you did exactly. You committed treason. Essentially, to protect yourself and to sell influence, you ran your top secret emails through an unsecured, unsecured.
I don't care if it was highly secured. It wasn't you were running official government documents through a private server. I mean, that's just not done.
No.
And shouldn't be done either. And frankly, it's very troubling. It kind of reminds me, Chuck, of that old comedy line, as you were saying, the things that you're hearing aren't as bad as you think they are.
Yes.
They're much, much worse.
Yeah, It's that really is true. The problem is that, for instance, are you hearing all that much about it on the Alphabet news media? ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN. Unfortunately, they are running interference as they have for the Clintons since 1991.
Yeah, I just did a Google quick search on Hillary and emails, and here are the top returns. Politico, Daily Beast, McClatchy, Breitbart. Oh, wait a minute, CNN is up there. But I'm sure that CNN is probably spinning it as hard as they can for Hillary Clinton.
And interesting about McClatchy, that is a newspaper chain, and it's a leftist rag.
Uh-huh.
The McClatchy papers are terrible. Sacramento Bee and a number of other papers. They're awful.
Yep. You know, other places like Vox.com, The Blaze, that's, you know...
Interesting, yeah. Vox, because Vox is essentially, it's a far-left political organ that, interestingly enough, is funded in part by NBC.
Oh, that, yeah, it's strange bedfellows there, too. Now, I think that it's interesting because their headline, again on the 12th, was Bernie Sanders and, quote, top secret, unquote, emails are catching up to Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, see,
because she has another problem. It isn't just an investigation. It's the fact that she has a challenger in the Democratic primary, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, who is an independent. He he's registered as an independent. He caucused with the Democrats his entire career in Congress, in Senate, and he's also a avowed socialist.
Okay, he ran, actually won in Vermont under the Socialist Party ticket.
Okay.
So what happened was I forget who the last speaker of the Democratic House when the Democrat, who was the speaker when Sanders got elected in there? It might have been, and it doesn't matter. The Democratic speaker, knowing full well that Bernie Sanders would caucus with the Democrats, ordered that he be listed as an independent. Knowing full well he carried the moniker socialist.
Yeah, as a socialist, yes.
So the fact is that independent thing is a smoke and mirror show. Bernie Sanders is a member of the and is elected as under the Socialists of America.
Yeah, now it's interesting because Vox goes a little bit, even though they're as you described them, and
yes.
I think that's probably the reason why they've done this. They basically said, here's what we've learned in the last 24 hours. Number one, the email server Clinton wiped clean is headed to the Justice Department. I think that's a bad place to send it, but it should be sent to the Inspector General who's working with the Senate Judiciary
Committee. Going to send it to Loretta Lynch?
Yes.
Oh, yes. There's a great idea.
There's a great idea. Number two, some of the emails she already had turned over to the state contained material that could be deemed top secret. And number three, Bernie Sanders is now leading her in New Hampshire. And that's true. The latest poll shows Bernie Sanders ahead of Hillary Clinton in the Democratic primary in New Hampshire.
That's a regional thing. I mean, let's face it, he's from next door.
It's right. He's from next door. And so, yeah, that's probably not going to hold across the country. But one of the things that they do, they've got a quote now because she's finally turned over the server to the Justice Department. Now, here's a quote from her spokesperson. Okay. Quote, this past spring, Hillary Clinton asked the Department of State to publish the 55,000 pages of the work email she provided to the department last fall. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. 55,000 pages of work emails on her private server. Let that sink in for a minute.
That's a lot of email.
It's an awful lot of email. Okay, I'm continuing with the statement. As she has said, it is her hope that state and the other agencies involved in the review process will sort out as quickly as possible which emails are appropriate to release to the public. Okay, now I'm going to stop right there, middle of the sentence. Which emails are appropriate to release to the public, basically tacitly admitting there are sensitive emails in here that are not for public view.
Right.
Chuck, we call those classified or secret or, in the case of at least two of them, top secret.
Well, the whole point is that Congress is not asking for these so they can release them to the public. They're asking for them so they can see what's
if a crime has been committed.
Yes.
That's right. Okay. And I continue on in the middle of that quote. And that the release will be as timely and transparent as possible.
Well, okay. That's not very transparent.
I was going to say, that's kind of hard for this group. Okay, continue with the quote. In the meantime, her team has worked with the State Department to ensure her emails are stored in a safe and secure manner. Wait a minute. Which emails are we talking about here? Are we talking about just the work emails? Are we talking about the ones that she personally deemed as private and erased off that server before she notified the State Department that she had 30-some thousand emails, you know, clicking around that were basically work product? There's more questions here. Okay, back to the statement. She directed her team to give her email server that was used during her tenure as secretary to the Department of Justice, as well as a thumb drive containing copies of her emails already provided to the State Department. She pledged to cooperate with the government's security inquiry, and if there are more questions, we will continue to address them. Unquote. Well, read that last line as we will continue to spin them. Okay. The question that's begging to be answered is Huma Abedin part of her team? As vice chairman of her campaign, I'm guessing she is.
She is.
So if her team has been directed to give that email server, how much would you want to put down as a wager that they've already tried to extract and remove and cover her?
The problem they're going to have with this is that if Trey Gowdy's going about this the way I think he is, he's subpoenaing other people's emails. And
yes.
If there are emails that aren't there, that clearly she sent to other people, guess what? Now, you and I both know what'll happen there. Well, you know, it's the old Bart Simpson. You know, I didn't do it. You didn't see me do it. And nobody saw me do anything. Right.
That's right.
There used to be the whole Bart Simpson shuffle. That's what you're going to see. And basically, well, I can't remember everything. If you remember Hillary's answer when she got called up about the whole Benghazi thing in front of, I think, Gowdy's committee,
mm-hmm. That's right.
Was, what difference does it make now anyway?
I do believe that those are words that will probably be coming back to haunt in a time frame near us.
Yes, exactly. Look, this is an election year. She's got challengers. And Camille Paglia basically wrote that she didn't actually see Hillary getting as far as the primaries. This is what Camille Paglia was talking about.
I think you're right.
That it's very possible. Well, let's talk about some of the reasons why this is coming out now and why it's dangerous. Why is this suddenly getting traction? What do you think? I mean, let's full disclosure. We talked about this at lunch. So.
We talked about this at lunch, and I think we mentioned something about it earlier on too. And I think this is Team Obama picking up the baseball bat and swinging in the vicinity of her kneecaps. A la Tanya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan. I do believe that this is to cripple her, possibly in order to help Joe Biden, but possibly also, and we talked about this too, and folks, I'm going to say it. You may think I'm an idiot, and I'm not saying that this is a crystal ball prediction,
right.
But if it does come true, I am going to say it's a crystal ball prediction.
I'll lay claim to it while I can.
I really have the sneaking political suspicion that this little Tanya Harding job is being done on Hillary Clinton in order to open the door for this year's October surprise, which will be the announcement of Michelle Obama running for her husband's seat.
If they can get Hillary to withdraw, I think that's a possibility. I'll be quite honest. I think that's a long shot. But remember that when the Clintons came in 92.
Yes.
There was a big fight for control of the Democratic Party.
Yes, there was.
With which faction? The Kennedy faction.
The Kennedy faction, that's right.
Okay. Well, who turned out to be the winner in that? The Clintons. And the Clintons,
obviously.
The Clintons were running the Democratic Party all that time during the Bush era and all that until the Obama faction came in.
Exactly.
And the Obama faction wants somebody who's Obama faction.
Right. And that's the reason why Debbie Wasserman Schultz is now the chair of the DNC and not Terry McAuliffe.
Yeah, exactly. And that's also why Debbie Wasserman Schultz is standing up there taking the punches in the gut. Because let's face it, she is not doing well as a spokesperson. She is not a pleasant person. She's not, and I'm not talking physically, she's not an attractive person. That has nothing to do with her physical appearance. She is basically out there because she is
odious of both character and spirit.
Yes, exactly. And she will say anything. She will say about anything to get things done. And she'll go up and lie like a rug if she needs to. And she'll spin. She'll do anything. So she's hoping to step up. She wants to step into Marco Rubio's Senate seat because Rubio, I think, has announced he's not going to run for re-election.
He's doing something a little bit different right now. He's running for president.
Yeah, and I think he actually thinks he might be the nominee. And to be quite honest, with Jeb Bush essentially sinking fast, it opens the door for some of these other GOPE candidates who might be able to appeal to the right end of the party. Rubio was a big hero 2 years ago, but now he's a goat, and it all has to do with illegal immigration. So, what's happening in the Democratic Party? Well, what you're witnessing is someone trying to drive a stake through the heart of the Clinton faction of the Democratic Party. And Obama has never been a huge friend of the Clinton faction. In fact, the only reason that Hillary got that Secretary of State appointment was to shut her up.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, Chuck, it's interesting because I want to take a couple of moments and explore this Debbie Wasserman Schultz connection here, because I went back and looked up a little bit here, and if I can get this stupid pop-up to close on my computer. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We have the same problems that everybody else has, and that's stuff popping up that we don't want. But I went back, and there was an article in The Hill, which is one of the political blog sites, websites that track the federal government and politics. And back in April of this year, there was this big article that said DNC, which is under Debbie Schultz, is planning primary debates for Hillary. And the headline says, Democratic National Committee Chairwoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz says she's still planning for primary debates in expectation of a challenge to presidential contender Hillary Clinton. Chuck, that was in April, okay? I don't know if you were hearing or not, but in the last week and a half, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, after having announced the date of the first primary, that date has now been pushed back to an undetermined date. Why? Maybe it could be potentially because they're hoping for this fire to build hot enough to burn Hillary. Now, if you get a fire burning that hot and then you throw a presidential debate in the mix that she can't avoid, what have you got?
You basically got an opening for
Michelle Obama to come in. Because if you look at the rest of the field, Charles, in the Democratic Party right now as it stands, and you take Hillary Rodham Clinton out of the mix, here is what you're left with. White male Bernie Sanders. White male Martin O'Malley, the former governor of Maryland. White male Lincoln Chafee of Rhode Island. And white male Jim Webb of Virginia. Are you starting to notice a trend?
Yeah.
And it's a trend that the Democratic Party has been consciously trying to run away from for the past decade. Again, I'm not making a crystal ball prediction here. I'm just looking at the way this thing seems to be laying out and just anticipating a few things that may be coming in the near future. And just remember, ladies and gentlemen, Barack Hussein Obama's Organizing for America is still out there strong. And given that what's been happening lately in places like Baltimore, Ferguson, the list goes on and on, How difficult do you think it would be to be a white male Democrat presidential candidate having to debate Michelle Obama?
Yep, and let me tell you something.
Considering the fact that right now, the front runner, Bernie Sanders, just had an appearance that I believe it was in the D.C. area, disrupted completely by the organized group Black Lives Matter.
You beat me to it. That's where I was going.
Keep going.
He just basically got run off the stage.
Yes, he did.
Now, what's interesting about that, it wasn't in D.C. I forget. I think it was California.
Okay, I'll double check
but
that.
But he immediately went to another event and spoke to something like 19,000 people.
Oh, yeah, exactly, because they couldn't disrupt that very much.
This is going to get real interesting. You're right. The left has been running away from it.
It was Seattle where he was.
Seattle.
I'm sorry. I was on the wrong end of the country.
I was on West. I knew it was West Coast someplace. That's why I said California.
But see, Charles, do you see the tea leaves starting to line up in the cup here?
Yeah, I can see it. She has been making moves at the left. The problem is it's going to marginalize a lot of middle of the roaders.
Well, it possibly could be a similar strategy to what Ohio's John Kasich is doing by trying to marginalize the people in the conservative wing of his own party.
Exactly.
And that is letting them know that there's a new sheriff in town.
Yes.
In the Democratic Party.
Well, look.
Now, and again, Debbie Wasserman Schultz got her job at the DNC directly because of the patronage of Barack and Michelle Obama.
Let's real quick before we were out of time. That's a strategy that has not worked well for the Republicans, because where were they? No. They were going to run away from social issues, and then the Center for Medical Progress begins to drop these videos. Nobody's prepared to take advantage of it.
Well, and
nobody.
And I do want, on our next program, we're going to be talking more in depth about that, because that's a crystal ball moment too, but we'll leave that for next week.
Okay, we have a class coming up on the Constitution, and I just realized when I looked at the date that that's a special day.
Yes, it is.
And we're going to leave it to you to figure out what that special day is. In fact, if you take the class...
Now, we'll let you know what date we're starting the class, but you need to figure out what's special about the day.
Yeah, that's right. We need to let you know the day.
Yes.
It starts September 17th.
Which is a Thursday.
Tuesday.
Thursday.
Oh, it is Thursday.
It is a Thursday.
These are Thursdays.
Okay. I'm glad we talked about this on air, because you may have shown up on Tuesday night wondering where everybody was.
I know what the date is. I'd be like, huh?
Okay. But again, the new IOTC class, we're going to be in Grove City.
Grove City, at the Grove City Vineyard Fellowship. That starts at 6:30 p.m. September 17th. Yes, registration is open. And you can get the best price on registration right now if you go out and register. We'd love to have you. If you've taken a class with us before and you have all your books, sign up as an alumni, and you get to come for free because you already got your books, because the price of the class is the books. But we don't make a nickel off these things.
No, we do not.
And if we happen to make a nickel, it all goes to Camp American.
For scholarships for the kids.
So, you want to know where to go? It's at the top of the web. It's the first thing on the website.
Okay, it's Vineyard Christian Fellowship, Grove City, 3005 Holt Road in Grove City. Now,
that's right.
Again, these classes start Thursday, September 17th, and run for 12 weeks. Now, we're going to be taking Thanksgiving Thursday off, so it's actually going to run 13 weeks with that 1 week off for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But we're there. We've been invited by the church and by some of the folks in the church. It's open to the general public. If you want to come and take the class, again, if you're an alumni and you still have your materials, you can come and take it for free. But if you're coming for the first time, either please register at our webpage, either at campamerican.com directly. You go to the right-hand side, and you'll find a link over the side that says Institute on the Constitution Courses. You click on that, and the first thing that should pull up is the registration page for this new Grove City class. You can also go to principledpolicy.com and click through the link to get over to the same page.
Right.
We would strongly encourage you to pre-register, because we need to have an idea, because we're ordering materials. And so please register as soon as possible, and we hope to see you all on Thursday, September the 17th, and hopefully you'll tell us what's important about that day.
Okay. principledpolicy.com. principledpolicy.com, campamerican.com. And if you come the first night and you can tell us what the special day is, we'll give you a prize. So you get your books and you'll get another prize on top of that. So we're out of time for this week. Join us again next week for another Principles and Policies.